announcements this morning, so we're going to start with Pam, our first candidate here.
Okay, we just want to remind everybody there is a sign-up sheet on the table here in the back to help provide the snacks and stuff for after the play, and just let you know everything's going great. We've had several donations of time and money, and everything is provided for the play, and it's just awesome.
Great. Amen. Mr. Don Ebenall. Hallelujah. 1 minute.
Feels like this is The Price is Right or something. next weekend is the...
Global House of Prayer.
Yeah, what he said. Global House of Prayer here next weekend. It's a crew from Medicine Hat. I liken it to maybe a bit of a tune-up, or maybe you take your car to the shop to get a headlight changed or something, or get a tire changed. This is just like a little bit of maintenance in our Christian walk, understanding with the Lord. They're going to come and they're going to lay down some good teaching on evangelism and prophecy and something else that just doesn't come to mind right now. Something about God from the Bible, I believe. Anyways, that's next weekend. So it's Saturday at 2:00. Everybody's welcome. Bring a friend or two or three. So it's 2:00 Saturday afternoon. There's going to be some teaching and whatnot going on in the afternoon, and then also in the evening, and Sunday. They're going to be teaching and leading in worship and all that as well. And then there's going to be a potluck next Sunday. So make a note of that. Potluck. Bring something for potluck next Sunday.
Thanks. Thanks, Pot. Raymond. Raymond Paquette, leader of the Lazarus House Ministry.
Good morning. Good morning. I come from Edmonton, where I lived for about 36 years, and I heard about Breakforth. I've gone to Breakforth several times. How many here have heard of Breakforth? It's a one church, one God, one weekend. It's a wonderful, it exists to unify, serve, equip, and empower the church in Canada to live out the mission of Jesus, to make us disciples. And there's over 70 classes to attend with some wonderful concerts, of worship, of comedy, and it's in the conference center in Edmonton, Shaw Conference Center, and it's over January 26th to 28th, 3 days. 26th is Friday, is a pre-conference. It's an all-day session into five different realms you might want to look into. And there's 70 classes following the next day. And there's one day, especially for women, for those who want to attend. And the sooner we get in, the better the price. And if we go in as a group of 10 or more, we get discounts up to $50. So we need to book. Thing is, you have to choose your classes now, and they'll prepare your schedule for you, and then you'll know where to go, even if you forget. So... It's expensive. It's getting more expensive every year because it's getting more popular. I believe this is the biggest equipping and empowering conference in North America. And Arlen Salty from Edmonton has created this many years ago, and he's even brought it to Holland and Israel. So it's a world-famous event. So I encourage everyone to try to attend. It'll be a weekend you surely will never forget. Honest. Hillsong will be there. Ben Cantillon, Family Force 5, I believe. A whole bunch of good bands. So it's a great event. Okay, thank you.
Praise God. Amen. Just to go along with that, I went last year for the first time. And what a powerful equipping conference it was. It's just a real blessing to come back pumped by the Spirit of God. I'm going to have Leslie Potts come up, not right now, Les, but he's just going to be sharing a short testimony. just want to let everybody know, I'm contemplating starting a men's gathering or get together on a Friday night for maybe 6:45, something like that, and just to come down here just after the prayer retreat. I just felt, you know, man alive, we just get away maybe twice a year, and it's so awesome and stuff, eh? But I thought, how about a Friday night where we can just rekindle the fire, amen? And just to get to know one another. God is forming a team here, a mighty worship team. Just thank God for the worship this morning. I tell you, when we develop and create a platform for the Spirit of God to come, He will come. Holy Spirit will come. But we've got to create that platform for Him. Amen? So, if I get a lot of encouragement, I've already got one brother shared that, yeah, he'd be like to get involved with that on a Friday night. So come and talk with me later on. Another thing that we're doing, myself and Leslie and some of the Lazarus boys, well, all of them, we're doing an outreach to Muscogees, the reserve just north of Ponoka. And we've been having meetings with people. We've got some native ladies here in the city that are urban natives, as it were, from there, from Muscogees. And so we're looking at doing an outreach in January 13th. This will be a Saturday. And we'll be going out there and doing all kinds of things, games. It was more focused on the youth there. And, you know, these dear people, you know, they're just dying. Another suicide this past week, you know. And Leslie might share this story with you, but a 5-year-old little boy decided to end his life as well. 5 years old, just a baby, you know. So, pray about that. Pray into it. Definitely just covet your prayers for Muscogees for that time. Amen? Leslie Potts has been at Lazarus House here for a couple months here, so I'm going to invite Leslie up to share a short 2-minute testimony. Kitty. We got lots. We got communion here this morning, so here you go.
Thank you. Salvation, trusting Him in what He says to do, receive to what He has to offer. Lean not on your own source. Let him have your source. What I don't have, what He has, my peace is gone. He is the Prince of Peace. Given of peace, He is the peace. World has no place where that we need. Awesome One, since of indescribable peace. Anyway, came to Lazarus House, which I didn't know it was a discipleship teaching. I decided to come back to Red Deer because no jobs in Hobima, nobody would hire me, nobody would phone me, Pinocchio, Wetaskwin, and Muscogees. I didn't know what Lazarus House was until I got there. God brought me there to be a disciple. Yeah, and I'm a man with a few words, and that's all I have to say. I'm just kidding. I was born at a very early age. Anyway, I don't drink alcohol anymore or smoke. Yeah. Okay. Or smoke marijuana. I used to 2 or 3 joints a night, and that was no good. And just no motivation, nothing, not even thinking, not even moving, not even getting hungry, too. But I do get the munchies now and then. I'll make this short, about an hour. No, just kidding. Yeah, my ride's coming over to go to Muscogees All Nations Church in Louisville. My ride should be here between 11:30 and 12, so I'll make this short. I love training to be a disciple, and everything that's mandatory doesn't have to be mandatory for me. Everything that we need to do mandatory-wise, I do anyway, even in Muscogees. What else do I need to say? Oh, the meaning of salvation. It means salvation of deliverance in, from harm, sin, or loss, a source of a means of being saved from harm, ruin, or loss. His only salvation was to shoot. Willfully, anyway, you know what salvation is. I can't read with my young man glasses. Salvation for me is I've been saved since the day I surrendered to Lord Jesus in Ready Remand Center. I escaped the gates of hell here on earth. Never went back to jail since then. I got baptized on November 13th on Sunday at Livingstone's, and I surrendered to the Lord on Sunday, February 13th in the Remand Center. I was supposed to get baptized a month later, but couldn't, but ended up to be in November. And guess what? Sunday the 13th on both days. And 13 is a lucky number for me. It's not a bad number like Friday the 13th, Black Friday and whatnot. I always pray for my children, my Titsimak and my Tsapan, which means my grandchildren and my great-granddaughter. Everybody, even all my children, my family, my friends, my loved ones. I always pray for them, especially when I eat, go to sleep, and wake up. I pray throughout the day, nonstop. If I wake up in the night, I pray too. And I had a few dreams about my land and down the road in Samson, about how bad it is there. I dreamt of this creature on my land, shape-shifting into different kind of creatures, from a cow which did not look like a cow, all the way down to Sasquatch, a bear that didn't look like a bear, stuff like that. And I dreamt of, I figured it out, I had to pray for my land. And the other dream is, I was walking down a road from a house which is not there, on a road which I know is still there. I'm just walking away, and as soon as I hit the road, it came very windy, and I had to lean into it to walk down the road, and it started raining, but I wasn't wet. Then hail, I was hurting, but not yet hurt. And then fire on the ground didn't even touch me at all. And as soon as I got to that other house, my cousin's house, which is not there, and she doesn't live there, as soon as I stepped on the driveway, it stopped, nice and sunny, but just a few feet away, it was just all stormy and whatnot, like in Exodus, when hail, rain, and fire were coming down. Anyway, I'm almost done here. I gotta get going. Meet Sean Falkridge from the Cove. Thank you, and God bless.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just want to let people know, too, for the Renewed Store, if you're able to volunteer some time this week, 1 hour, 2 hours, just come and help us out there. We're trying to get that project done. Amen? And so right now, I just want to pray for Pastor Stan. Lord God, I thank you for him. Thank you for the word that you've put on his heart for us this morning, that each of us will receive from you something that will encourage us, will build us up, and strengthen us for the coming week, Lord God. So I pray for that anointing to rest upon my brother. Lord God, just anoint him with your Holy Spirit, and just upon this whole place, Lord God, that your presence will be here in a mighty way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good to be here, and to know that we're in the presence of God. Yeah, It's not renewed, it's Renew. Let's try to get that straight. So the name of the thrift store is Renew. And it's a great name. And there's been some amazing developments happening there. We're starting to put windows in. Got lots of help. If you see Cowboy Doug there, you see his neck like that. That's because he spent the last 3 weeks on a lift. He's been cleaning everything off the ceiling, all the old electrical, all the old pipelines and all that. So he walking around like this, there's a reason for it, all right? But we're really excited about what's happening there. Really believing, too, that this is a gift from God and that he is going to provide great ministry opportunities, great opportunities to meet with other volunteers. There's going to be lots of people joining us in this venture. And it's not really just about clothing and about other things that we might be able to sell or to give to people, but it's really about building community and getting to know folks who don't know Jesus, but they're really good people maybe, but they just need to know who Jesus is. So keep that in your prayers. Also, just a congratulations to you guys. We got married yesterday. Woo-hoo. We had a beautiful time, a beautiful service. Thank you, God, for Damien and for Roxanne. And we pray and continue to pray for your relationship together and for the way God joins you together and that we walk together with him. Amen? Amen. Some of you are here for the first time. And I just want you not to, don't be afraid. Don't think that these are a bunch of weird people, even though some of them are. Don't think that. We're just people who love Jesus. And sometimes we do that in different ways. And we have the freedom to do that. We have the freedom to worship God and just to express our love for him. Really what's important to us is that we want to know Jesus better. We want to really grow in that relationship with God, with the Father through the Son, and to be led by the Holy Spirit as he leads us and as he directs us and as he empowers us. So if you're here for the first time and you're thinking, this is just a strange thing that I'm experiencing, yeah, maybe, but it's going to get even better. And God is here. God is in this place. God is in this place, right? And you're not here by accident. You're here because he called you here. And he's a God who heals and who restores. And even through the time of worship that we were worshiping, there's just a real healing and a time of drawing close to God and a time of worshiping him. You know, sometimes it's all we have. We don't have anything else to give God but our hearts. And yet that's the only thing he ever asks of us. He says, just give me your heart. Just love me. And maybe you're here today and you're going through a really hard time. I'm sure that that's true for many of us. Gone through some tough stuff. You're in the right place. And I just want to remind you today before we open God's word that he loves you, that he is the answer, he is the solution, that no matter what you've done, it's not so big that it can't be forgiven and that you can't have a new start. We believe in a God of new beginnings. Amen? Amen? He's a God of new beginnings. He doesn't even, we've been looking at that last week, he doesn't even remember your sins anymore. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making that up. I don't even remember your sins. You go, well, God, what about, don't you remember that, that, and that? You know, I don't remember because they're covered in the blood of Jesus. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. So remember that. Remember that he's a God who heals. He's a God who speaks. And as we open his word today, I just need a little more prayer. So just one more prayer, if that's okay. Let's just bow our heads and ask God to speak clearly. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that you don't even remember our sins and that it's all about grace for you and that we want to see you today as a God who's got his arms wide open for us. We need you today, God. There's some of us who are hurting and struggling and we're in trouble and we can't go anywhere else because there's nowhere else to go. We want to hear from your word and then we want to come to your table and just celebrate that great forgiveness and celebrate what you did, Lord Jesus, on the cross when you gave your life and you poured out your blood. Thank you that there is power in the blood. We're grateful, God. I just pray that you'll help me to communicate this today and that we will celebrate the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. So last Sunday, we were talking about the Lamb of God who takes away what? Sin. The sin of the world, right? That Jesus is the Lamb of God. He doesn't take away the sins of the world. That's not what the Bible says. It says he takes away the sin of the world. And that's different because really what it's meaning is that there's this condition of sin. There is this curse that's upon us because there's sin in the world. And it's that condition that Jesus Christ has removed. And that a lot of times, we focus on individual sins. We point them out into each other. We recognize them. We're all about sins, right? All the sins. And sometimes we heap them upon ourselves, or we're recognizing them in that person or this. We're all about sins in the plural. But God is much more interested in the capital S, capital sin. And it's one thing. It's a condition. The condition of sin that came upon us in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin. When that happened, and we're going to read about it in a minute. When that happened and sin was introduced into the world, there became this condition that needed to be dealt with, because we didn't have any peace and we didn't have any relationship with God because of that sin. Sin separates us. I'm talking about not sins, but sin itself, the condition of sin separates us from God. We could not have, we cannot have a relationship with God unless that sin has been dealt with. And that's why the Father sent his Son, Jesus. Amen? Amen. So we're going to read that a bit this morning. So if you have your Bibles, we're starting in Genesis chapter 3. And it talks about the fall of man and what happens after Adam and Eve fell into sin. And God speaks the curse, really, and he speaks about what are the implications, what's going to happen now that sin is reigning. And sin was reigning until Christ came, right? And he died and he took it on a cross and he nailed it to the cross. So I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And so the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals, and you will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." Now, this is a really important verse, so listen to this. He's talking to the snake, right, to the serpent. And he says, "And he," meaning Christ, this is a prophetic word, meaning the Jesus who's going to come, "he will crush your head while you strike his heel." And to the woman he said, "And I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. Your pain, with pain you will give birth to children. And your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Though, or through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. And the ground will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." And that's just kind of as far as we want to read today. That is kind of a sobering passage. It's all about the curse and all the implications. What happens in our lives because of the separation now that we have with God because of sin? And it's really about, you know, about doing things the hard way. It's really what it became. You know, most of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we do things the hard way. Sometimes we do things the easy way. Prior to sin in the world, man lived the easy way. Right? It was an easy life. Things were good. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, we're told. It must have been an amazing existence. They did things the easy way because they had fellowship with God. They communicated with the Father. They loved him. They did things the easy way because there was no sin. But when we read this passage and all about the curse and all the things that happen and all the implications of sin, we realize that that's really living life the hard way. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced that in my life. You too? You ever done things the hard way? Yeah, we live the hard way, right? We've done, made foolish mistakes, made bad decisions, gone down roads that we should never have gone, bought things we should never have bought. Anybody here, or is it just me, right? Right? Anyone who's lived the hard way? Well, that's really what, in a nutshell, we could say this is really what God is saying to Adam and Eve. He's saying, now because of the choice you made, you chose to live apart from me. You chose to disobey me. Now it's going to be tough. There's going to be some hard things. It's, you know, childbirth is going to be hard. And you're going to have to work for a living. You're not going to just be wandering through this Garden of Eden naming animals. That's what Adam and Eve were doing beforehand. You know, there's a deer and there's a rabbit. Man, this is a hard job. That was not a hard job, right? There's a chipmunk. Hey, I got that one nailed. Do you think that should be a chipmunk? Yes, that looks like a chipmunk, right? That was sort of the life that Adam and Eve had. But now it's working by the sweat of your brow. Now it's going to be difficult. Now you do the hard thing. And a lot of us understand that because we've experienced that in our lives. I've done things that have made this, you know, the hard way. There's a hard way and there's an easy way. And sometimes I've chosen the hard way and paid for it. Anyone else? Two of us. Good. No, a bunch of us. A bunch of us. Right? So you understand what I'm talking about, right? It's part of our sin nature is that we choose the hard way, even though we don't need to. We're going to get to this. But through Christ, I'm going to say it anyways because we're still going to get to it. I want to make sure that you don't miss this. It's through Jesus Christ that we have a way, a much better way than that bad and hard way that we sometimes choose. Amen? A few years ago, I told you about my dog who got involved with a porcupine. I don't know if you remember that story or not. My dog was a couple years old, and she got involved with a porcupine one night and came home with probably about 200 quills in her nose. And I know what happened because I know this dog. She got close to it, and she thought, I can get even closer, and I can get maybe even a little closer. And then she got her, and then the porcupine turned because they'll do that. And the next thing, she got her nose just absolutely filled with porcupines. And I remember that night well because there was a couple hundred of them. And me and my wife had her tied up in a blanket. There was no vet around at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm pulling these things out. And I won't get into this because I'll get charged probably with animal cruelty or something. But I didn't mean it. You know, we just wanted to take good care of this dog. But anyways, you would think that that dog would learn, right? That the next time the dog came to a porcupine, and unfortunately we have a few of them around our place, you would think that the next time that dog got by the porcupine that she'd go, oh, wait a minute, been there, not going there with my nose. But that's not what happened. It happened at least two more times. And now even just recently, she was doing pretty good there for a couple years. But about a month ago, she came home just with like five. I don't know how she's doing it. She's getting better. Like there's not 200 quills, but there's like five. But she's still drawn to that porcupine. And if you remember the story, this is really a true story. When she got caught the first time, again, maybe we should just turn the PA off or the, I don't know if I should admit, I shot the porcupine. Like, they didn't know what else to do, so I shot the porcupine, buried the porcupine out in the field. The next day, I came home, and there's the porcupine on my doorstep. She had gone out in the field, dug the porcupine up, decided she's going to bring it back for me, right? The point is, you know, but that porcupine or that dog isn't that different from me or you. Because we do the same sort of thing, right? We choose to live the hard way. And we're just so drawn to it. We're just attracted to whatever that is that's going to bite us in the nose. We're drawn to it. And even after we've been smacked hard, maybe smacked hard a second or a third time, we still kind of go back to it. We go, well, it's kind of interesting, you know? Or I remember what that felt like. How many of you know what that's like? Or you go, well, I remember that feeling. I know what that was like. I kind of like that feeling. I sort of want to get close to it. And we play with the line. Man, I've talked about this before, right? There's a line, and we know that we can't cross the line. And we think, well, all right, I know there's. I'm just going to get close. I'm not stepping over that line. But it's kind of fun to get a little closer to it. But I won't. I'm not going to step on the line. I will not. I know what happens when I step on the line. Next thing you know, you've stepped on the line, because we're playing with the line. Right? We're playing with a line. We're not listening to God. We're listening to the voice inside of us. We're listening to the enemy or to the serpent who's trying to convince us to live in another way. And to just and we think that what he says makes sense. And even sometimes it sounds harmless. Like, what's the big deal? Just grab a piece of fruit and eat it. This cannot be a big deal. Right? I mean, God made this, and we justify, we rationalize all kinds of things, right? I do. There's a few of you doing this, so thank you for that, right? So we get caught up in this. We do the same thing that my German Shepherd did and continues to do, even though she's getting better, with that porcupine. We stick our nose where it doesn't belong, and it's been killing us. It's been destroying us. It has been hurting us. It's been costing us in every way. In every way. And today, well, the time I got left, and keeping in mind that we're coming to the Lord's Supper today, keeping in mind that this is the way. You know, if you're living a hard life, if you're hearing me today and you're going, yeah, I've made so many hard and bad decisions, I'm doing things the hard way. And I got to tell you this, that is the easy way. That is the way of Christ. That is the way of grace. That is the way where your sins are forgiven. That is the way of eternal life. So remember, we're getting to that. But today, just for a little bit, I want us to follow the part of this curse that relates to the thorns and the thistles, okay? Let me read it again. Genesis 3, just this part, where God is speaking to Adam. He says, here are the consequences. Here's what you're going to experience now in your life, now that you've chosen to do this the hard way. You've chosen to do this the hard way. Here's what's going to happen. He says, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life, and it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You see, before this happened, before sin was introduced into the world, everything grew easily. It was the easy way. There were no weeds. There was no sin, right? There were no thistles. There was none of that. The crops grew on their own. The crops grew in bounty. And it was amazing. It was wonderful. But after sin, God says, now you're going to deal with thistles and you're going to deal with the thorns. And I don't know how many of you are farmers. Crystal's not here. She's in Sunday school, but she loves gardening. And she would tell you today that, man, there's nothing worse than thistles. She grew up as a farm girl in Iowa, and in her teen years, she would have to walk the beans. Now, as a Canadian, I had no idea what that meant, walking the beans. It sounded like beans was some kind of a dog or something. You got to walk the beans. But it wasn't, she would walk through literally hundreds of acres pulling out weeds. Her dad had four daughters, and they walked the beans, man, because her dad did not want to have weeds in his farmland, and he didn't want to have thistles, and thistles were the worst. Because they grow and they multiply and they do all kinds of damage. And we want to just talk about that for a few minutes this morning. What do thorns produce? What do thorns produce? Pain. Let's start with that one. Right? How many people know that thistles produce pain? Right? Even a rose. Someone hands you a long-stemmed rose, you better be careful. You hold it in the bottom and you hold it by the red part. Because if you grab it, you know, I had my four-year-old granddaughter, I remember this, we had a rose bush, and she thought they were so beautiful, and she went to reach them, and then the next thing you know, she's crying. Because you know what it is, right? There's thistles produce pain. Sometimes even blood. You know, if you get a good sliver, right, there's even some blood, and that's part of the result of sin that we're talking about. There's pain now. There wasn't pain, not in this way at least. There wasn't this extraordinary pain. Right? But because of sin, there's pain. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you got some pain in your life. It won't be long from the time of this story in Genesis 3 when the blood of Abel will be shed. Because now blood will be shed. And if there's pain in your life, it's a good thing to remember today that it's because of the thorns. It's because of the hard way that we've chosen to live, right? We get thistles, we get pain, we get maybe a little blood because this is how we live now. And we're affected by this. Every one of us. I don't think there's anybody here today who isn't affected by some measure of pain. Physical pain. Some of you are struggling with real pain in your life. You got chronic pain. That's part of it. It can also be emotional and mental. It can be lots of other ways. But we have pain now that we never would have had before. Isn't that something? God... And know this, by the way, God did not create us so that we would have pain. He did not create us so that we would suffer. We brought the suffering upon ourselves. God created us so that we would have harmony with Him and so that we would know Him. But we have pain. Another thing that thorns produce, a second thing that thorns produce, at least from what I've understood, and we have Canadian thistles in that little acreage we have. We just have a couple acres. But I'll tell you, since for 30 years, since we've owned that acreage, those thistles have been there. It doesn't matter what I've sprayed them with or cut them down with. Not only are they still there, but they keep growing. And I found out from my wife, who's an expert in thistles, that the seeds of a thistle can last 100 years in the ground. So let me tell you the second thing that thorns and thistles produce. They produce frustration and this feeling of hopelessness and this sense that I am never going to be able to catch up. And if you're feeling that way today, I want you to know that it goes all the way back. It really doesn't go back to whatever it is you're struggling with, your relationship or your addiction or your what Visa says you owe or any of that kind of stuff. It really goes all the way back, all the way back to the beginning in the garden. And understand that thistles and thorns produce a great amount of frustration in our lives and hopelessness. You know, do you feel that way sometimes where you're going, I just can never get ahead? Every time I think I'm pulling out a weed, there's three more. Every time I think that I'm making some progress in my life, it seems like I'm way back to the beginning again. I keep getting knocked back, right? Well, that's what happens, right? That's what happens with thorns and thistles. It seems very hopeless when you're pulling those weeds. Right, Don? It's like the weeds have a lot more power than I have. And I'm never going to catch up. I'm never, ever going to be where I need to be here. They're overwhelming me. That whole sense of feeling overwhelmed. Man, doesn't that happen to us? We feel overwhelmed. We feel like I'm never going to be able to get out of this. That is from the enemy. And it is from the curse. You hear that? It is from the curse. It is from the very beginning where God said, okay, you've chosen the hard way. This is what the hard way looks like. And I'm going to just mention one more thing. What do thorns and what do thistles produce? The third thing that thistles and thorns produce is loss. Loss. If you're a farmer and you got a field of corn or barley or whatever it is, if you got thistles, if you've got a lot of thistles and they're growing in your field, you lose in the harvest. In terms of the harvest, you lose. Because the thistles take over. And sometimes they've taken over in our lives even, right? Sin sometimes takes over in our lives and dominates us and controls us. And you know what I'm talking about? We've been controlled by these things. There is loss when it comes to this curse of the thistles and the thorns. Do you have that scripture from Matthew? Do you have that scripture? I think it's Matthew, right? Otherwise, I have it here. But I just want to point it out, like Jesus even talked about this. Yeah, so from Matthew 13, and here's the parable of the seed, right? The different kinds of seeds that get planted by the sower. And it just says here, just where it says the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. And he produces a crop, and it goes on. But the point is that when Jesus tells the story, what he says is that some of the seed that gets thrown out, that it gets thrown out among the thorns. And what happens when seed gets thrown out among the thorns is that the thorns rise up, and they choke it out. And I want you to notice especially that one word, it becomes unfruitful. When the thorns and the thistles dominate our lives, when they control me and when that sin is all that I live for, my life becomes unfruitful, right? And I believe that there's a whole lot of people out there, and they're not even going to church, maybe, or it doesn't even matter, some who are going to church, but we're living unfruitful lives because the thorns are choking us. We're not able to really produce fruit in the kingdom of God, the kingdom fruit. We're not producing that fruit because we are so choked by the thorns and the thistles of this world. And whether that's wealth or whether that's the worries of this world, you know, Jesus gives us a couple of examples. But there are other things like that. And I'm just pointing this out so that we all kind of are on the same page. And you go, you know, this is what happened when thorns and thistles started to grow up in the fields, and when we chose to live the hard way. Our lives became unfruitful. There are many, many people who are living their lives today, and they're just living for themselves, but they're not bearing any real fruit, not for God, not for his kingdom. And it's really what he asked us, it's all he cares, all he wants from us is to be fruitful. And he talks many, and I can't get into all of this, I will maybe another time, but he talks about how important that is. You need to bear fruit. You know, you need to bear the fruit of love. You need to show the, you know, if you really have the Spirit, John says, if you really have the Spirit, you'll see it in the fruit that I've given you, right? That we are not fruitful sometimes. We're not bearing fruit in our lives because we've allowed the thorns to choke the fruit away. And I think there's a lot of people who are living their lives and they're just existing. They're just going through the motions. They're inhaling and exhaling thousands of times, but they're not producing any fruit because they're caught up in the sin of this world. They're caught up in the thorns and the thistles, okay? And like I said earlier, this is really important that we get to this. It would be really bad if right now I said, amen, let's all go to Tim Hortons. Because then we miss the point, okay? Like I said earlier, the good news is that in Jesus Christ, this curse that we're talking about today, the curse has been lifted. Where did I put my Bible? And I got to read this. This is really important. In Galatians, just listen to these words. Listen, we're talking about a curse today that leaves us unfruitful, it leaves us in pain, it leaves us hurting, it leaves us frustrated, it leaves us hopeless. There's so much of the world that's like that because we're living under that curse. But listen to this. Christ, and this is Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Okay, now if we're going to clap, let me read again, and then you clap like you really, you know, like you're cheering for a sports team or something. Right? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. Just like I talked about last week, that he became sin for us. Anybody remember that? He actually became sin so that we could be inoculated against sin. He became he had to actually become sin so that we could be vaccinated and so that we could say, I am no longer under the sin of this condition. He now, according to Galatians, he's become the curse. He became the curse for me so that I no longer need to be cursed. Does that mean that all of life is wonderful and painless and without any frustrations? Yes. No, it doesn't. It doesn't, right? Let's be honest. We still, even though, maybe I'm just going to explain it the way I understand it. Even though I am no longer under the curse because Jesus Christ is my Lord and I've surrendered to him, the world and the people around me and so much of everything else out there is still affected by the curse. I got bad news for you girls. There is still going to be pain in childbirth. There will be, yeah. And you know, there's still going to be hard work. We're going to be expected, there'll be sweat. And when we walk out of here, there's still going to be thorns and thistles growing in your garden. But because I have Christ in my heart, the curse, he became the curse for me. Right, I'm still living with the effects of the curse. It's still all out there, but I am free. Amen. I really am. Essentially, I am free because Christ Jesus has set me free. Amen? Amen? Okay, I know some of you are probably going, nice speech and all that, but what about the Lamb of God? Because this is supposed to be a series on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want to end the message today with two pictures. And I want to show you how we're going to tie this into the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember that in Genesis 3 we're told that from now on, because of the curse, thorns and thistles are going to grow up in your garden. Later on in Genesis 22, can you just put that picture on now? In Genesis 22, the picture of the ram, we have this story where Abraham is called to offer a sacrifice to God. And that sacrifice was supposed to be his son Isaac, right? And he takes his son Isaac up Mount Moriah, and he is faithful to God, and he's going to be obedient. He's going to do the unthinkable. And just as he's about to sacrifice his son, Abraham, right? I said Abraham, didn't I? Okay. Well, why don't I sit down and you carry on? I'm just kidding. I appreciate, and you, most people know, help him. Just help him. Give him some help. Jerry Hunt keeps, he says, when I preach, he says, I just keep praying, help him, Jesus. So I can use all the help I can get. Thanks. The point is, I want you to watch this theme with me just for a few moments, the theme of the thistles and the thorns as we move into Genesis 22. And as we look at the picture, we see that the ram is caught up in the thicket, it says. Genesis 22, that God provided the ram so that the son did not need to die. Amen. Right? Amen? That's good news. The ram is caught up in the thicket, it's really the thistles. It was a bush that was all thorny. Can we agree on that? It was thorny. And now let's look at the next picture, because this brings us to really where we need to be. Do you see it? The ram of God, who is caught up in the thorny thistles, becomes the Lamb of God. Wow, right? Wow. The thistles that God spoke about back in Genesis 3, that you're going to be under the curse of the thorns and the thistles, that Jesus wore those on his very head. The very thorns that caught the ram in the bush so that the ram would be the sacrifice are now on the head of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You understand that this is exactly what Jesus did for me and what he did for you. That when he, and you know, I think for a lot of my life, I've seen that picture of Jesus and I've watched the movies and I've watched them, you know, the thorns were an inch and a half, 2 inches long. I've watched them screw the thorns onto his scalp like a bottle cap. And for most of my life, I've gone, wow, that's such an awful punishment. What a terrible thing to endure. Look at the blood pouring from Jesus' head. And all of that is true. It really is true. But do you see today that it's actually even so much more than that? It isn't just the pain. It isn't just the blood that poured out. It's that Jesus wore the thorns on his head to show us that he has overcome the curse. Amen. Yeah. Not just another form of punishment. They did all kinds of things to Jesus. But because he's overcome, he became the curse on the cross. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, right? There's a way. I want to tell you today about the way, and I'm not going to be long here because I want to spend time here fellowshipping around the table. But we do no good here today. I do a poor job if I don't point to Jesus, if I don't point to the way, and if I don't make it clear to you that there is, you don't need to live the hard way anymore. Some of us have been choosing the hard life. You don't need to choose the hard life anymore because Jesus Christ died for you because he said, I am the way. Believe in me. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, I am the gate. I am the gate. I am the door, he said. And anyone who comes through me will be saved. Isn't that great? I love that. I don't think you'd get any more plain, any more obvious than that. I am the door. Anyone who comes through me will be saved, he says. So I'm going to just end on that thought today. As you see us, we've brought the picture from the thorns from the Garden of Eden to Mount Moriah, where Abraham took Isaac, to Mount Calvary, where Jesus is crucified on the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I'm just saying to you today, isn't this a much better way? Aren't you grateful today? Aren't you grateful today that Jesus bore the curse that you could never bear? I could never bear this curse. I could never be the sacrifice because I'm just way too sinful. Jesus is the pure and unblemished Lamb of God. Amen. And we come to his table today to celebrate that and to remember it. We come to his table to say, thank you, Jesus. You took my sin, and I am not going to live the hard way anymore. Isn't it time that you stop doing that? Aren't you sick of that? Let's stop living the hard way, the way of addiction, the way of anger, the way of greed, the way of bickering and gossiping and slandering each other. You do not need to live the hard way anymore. Amen. You do not need to live the hard way anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask Rob to come on up. Rob, why don't you come up, and the Lazarus guys are going to pass out the Lord's Supper to us. So just let me pray first, and then I'm going to ask you to stand around a circle like we often do. Let's celebrate this. You're not cursed anymore. You know, maybe some of you walked in here thinking you were cursed. Well, you're going to walk out knowing the truth. You are not cursed. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. We are so grateful, so filled with joy, so filled in awe and in wonder because you have become the curse for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you wore the thorns. You wore the very thorns that condemned us and that condemned us to the hard way of doing things. Praise you, God. As we come to your table today, remind us that you include every one of us. God, I get a sense there's a few people here going, that's good news for some of these people, but it's not for me. That is just not true. This is good news for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. So we come to your table. We thank you that you've included us in your family. We're so grateful that because you've conquered sin, you don't even see sins anymore. The sins are not important because the sin, you've won victory over sin. You became sin and you became the curse in our stead. We humbly come to your table. I just want to say thank you, God, for inviting us. Thank you for including us. Thank you that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you for this fellowship, for these brothers and sisters, for the way that we stand together. You know, we keep reminding each other and showing each other where the way is, that the way is Jesus, that there's a much better way than perhaps the way we've been living. It's the way of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you, too, God, that in your good wisdom, you said that from time to time we should come together and gather around your table. We should remind each other that you gave up your body and that you poured out your blood so that we could be saved, so we could be forgiven, and so that death could be defeated. We're grateful. We just ask you, Lord, to be here now, and as we come to your table, just touch our hearts. Soften our hearts. Oh, you are so good, God. You are so good. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on up, Rob. You have the mic? Is there a mic? You want to just use one of these mics? I want you just to, as we go and stand in a circle, Rob is going to just introduce the Lord's Supper with a few words about what this really means and how good God is. Go ahead, Rob.
Thank you. Last week, I learned about suicide prevention and the all-sufficient sacrifice of my Savior. How he can give me hope. And it's in his interest that I take this hope, that I hold this hope, that I have hope, because without him I didn't have any, didn't have anything. Everything I thought I had would just sand in my hands. God is good, and I'm alive today to declare that for God, all things are possible.
Amen.
All things. And I do have hope. And hallelujah, he heals.
Amen. Bread and the juice.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he.
Thank you. Not that one. We sang it earlier.
To him who sits on
heaven's
mercy seat. Holy, holy, Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. To him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Okay, sing it out now.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are everything, and I will adore you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Golden rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning.
The amazing thing about our Father is that we're just waiting for some of our children to come in. Maybe a couple of you guys can make sure they have what they need today too. But the amazing thing about our Father is that he loves us and he just wants a relationship with us. That he will do anything that it takes, even if it takes the life of his son, to restore what has been destroyed and to remove the curse. Isn't that good news?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that I didn't call the kids in earlier, but it's so important that we include them. So just bear with us for a moment. They're going to come in here. They're a part of this family. Amen? Yeah, they are. They're important. So what Jesus did, and this was just a few hours really before he went to the cross, what Jesus did is he said, I want to give you something tangible to remember me by. I want to give you some way to remember me so that you're going to always know that I love you and that I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. You get it? I'm coming back. And you are forgiven and the curse has been removed. I'm coming back. And you're going to eat and you're going to drink and you're going to remember that I am. I am your God. I love you. I came so that you could be free. I came so that your sins could be covered. I came so that the curse would be removed. And so the night when Jesus was betrayed, before they arrested him, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body. Remember, this is my body. Remember that I give it for you. So take and eat. Remember the body of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say thank you, Lord? Praise God. You know, we never used to have this problem because we didn't have any kids going to this church. Now we've got this problem. That's a pretty good problem. So, yeah, make sure they have a piece of bread. And let's, you guys take it and eat and remember. Remember that Jesus gave his life. And he said, suffer the little children. Let the little children come to me. Let the little children come to me, and I'll give you rest. So after he gave the bread, after he broke it, he took the cup. He said, this cup is a symbol of life. It's a symbol of the blood that's poured out. There's life in the blood. Take, drink, remember, and believe the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. Actually, I'm going to do something different, okay? I just think we can't do a song with an organ right now. We got to do... Put your stuff down and start clapping. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is a... Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus, he's alive. Sing it out. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, my Jesus is alive. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he is. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This This is the day that the Lord has. Lift him up. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I was just thinking that all that stuff I said earlier about us not being like really weird or really strange, probably can throw that out the window now, you know. Sometimes we just got to burst into song, though. We just got to, you know, just who cares what the order is? Let's just give praise to God. And whenever we eat a good meal at someone's house, it's really appropriate for us to say thank you.
Yes.
So let's do that now.
Thank you.
Short little things. How do you say thank you?
Thank you, Lord.
What are you thankful for? How do we thank Jesus today? Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Who's next? Thank you for other believers. Amen. There are millions and millions of other people who are doing this with us today. Thank you, God. Go ahead. I'm thankful that the Lord put your wife in your life too. Thank you, Jesus. Amor.
Thank you, God, about this church. We are together.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Rob.
I'm thankful that, first of all, I'm alive. And I have friends and family.
Woohoo. Amen. That's good. Say it loud, just like Robert. Speak it out. Shout it out. Stick it. Amen. Amen. Anita. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Amen. Amen. Roxanne. Thank you that you're sober. Woohoo! Anna. Yeah, I know you got your hands up. Thank you, Jesus. Good word, good word. Thank you, God.
I'm thankful He can deliver me from the kingdom of darkness and transfer me, convey me into the kingdom of His beloved Son, and whom I have redemption through His blood.
Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You guys didn't hear that right because you didn't cheer enough, but she said, thank you, God, that you restored my family. Hallelujah. You are a mighty God. You are a mighty God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, yep, for people who you bring along our pathway, for opportunities, people we can help, people who help us. We say thank you, Jesus. Linda.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Say it loud.
Thank you for thorns and thistles in our lives because that makes us more to learn and to keep going. And
yeah.
Even there's someone unbelief most of the time that God will never ever.
Yeah. Good word. So thank you that there are thorns, that there is pain, that there's hard things, because it makes us lean more on you, Jesus, and reminds us that you've taken care of these things. Amen? Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lenny. Yeah. Well, and you're, yeah. She's talked about that she's not the same, right? And I think there's many of us who can thank God for that. She's saying, thank you, God, that this is who I'm really supposed to be.
That's right.
And that I'm not that old Lenny anymore. And that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
That's right.
Right? I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I think that's what you're saying. Hallelujah. This is good. This is really good. We're driving the enemy away when we do this. He hates it when we say thanks to Jesus. So let's not stop yet. How do we say thank you? Okay. You got something? Did you have your hand up?
No, I didn't.
You do now.
Something anyhow.
Yep.
But we just thank you, Stan, for the message, being obedient to the Lord. And your message is always so stirring. It really touches my heart. And I get blessed by it every time. Thank Amen. You, brother.
Hey, thank you. People are going to think I planted that. I did not. So, Ted. Yeah. Thank you for the joy and for the smiles on all the faces, right? We are victors. We are victors. Hallelujah. Woo! Cindy. Yeah. Amen. Just got to stop a second, but I mean, this is really true. Look at the healing that's going on in your life, right? You're not in a wheelchair. You know, you're walking, you're straighter, you're healthier, the pain, right? Thank you, God, for the healing that he's doing in your life. Praise God. We got time for a couple more. Alvin?
I'd just like to say that I used to serve a dead God, but Jesus Christ has become so real to me. And he's not dead, he's not in the grave, he's alive forevermore. So we serve a living God. That's the definition.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Christianity. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not dead. He's not in the grave. He's alive. You amen. Can meet him. Amen. You can actually meet him.
Amen. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved by the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Let's do this again. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. This is new to some of you. Let's do it again. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. And that's not all. And that's not all. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Woohoo! Thank you, God. Yeah, go ahead. You know this is getting crazier, right? So we're going to go around the circle. Do you think we're coordinated enough to walk in a circle? All right. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. Keep walking. By the blood of the Lamb. It's not my idea. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. And that's not all. And that's not all. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. You can talk about me. You can talk about me. All that you please. You can talk about me, all that you please. You can
Talk about me all that you please. Talk about you down on my knees. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. One more time. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Okay, give him a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Thank you, God. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Hey, remember, just as we're leaving here, remember that Jesus died for you, that you are important, that he loves each one of you, and that his blood is sufficient to cover all of your sins. That you leave this place changed. You're not the same. That every sin has been washed. It's not with you. You do not own it anymore. He's taken it for you. There is no curse on you. There is no curse on you because he became the curse. Amen? Receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. God give you his peace today because you have it. In Jesus' name, amen. How about how great is our God? Great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. All will see how great. God, how great.